Family, welcome to the Now Network. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. The Now Network presents Women Speak Now and Be Heard, hosted by Minister Michelle Taylor.
Can't help but praise them, can't help but praise them, can't help but praise them. Glory, hallelujah. Welcome, welcome to Women Speak Now. I'm your host, Minister Michelle. Thank you for joining me, listening audience. You are loved and appreciated. And most importantly, you are loved by the Most High God, the only true and living God. Amen. Women Speak Now is for all women, believers and non-believers, seeking an environment of love, empowerment, and trust, coming together as one in Christ. Women Speak Now is dedicated to real talk, real issues with real godly solutions. Proverbs 12:19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Men, you are always, always welcome into this atmosphere of love. Please like us on our Facebook page on Women Speak Now. And we thank you so much for all those who already had an opportunity to do so. If you have not had a chance, please stop by Women Speak Now and click that like button. But guess what? We all have something to share. Oh, yes, we do. We all have something to share. We all have a testimony. We all have some experiences to bring to the table. So you, yes, you can give us your own topics, your topics, directly on our Facebook page, Women Speak Now, as well as through Pastor E, the CEO and founder of this awesome network, the Now Network, or myself. Thank you, mighty man of God, Pastor E, for this opportunity to be your host here on Women Speak Now. Please know that you are truly, truly appreciate it. And we welcome you to speak now and be heard. Well, hello, hello, listening audience. Praise God on tonight. I'm excited to be back with you on this evening, and I thank God for each one of you. Amen. I pray that your day has been both positive and productive. And I want to say to be encouraged on tonight, guess what? God is still on the throne, and he reigns forever and ever. God loves you. Yes, you. With an everlasting love, his love, it endures forever, and he truly does want the best for you. And guess what? You can live your best life when you trust in the Lord. When you trust in the Lord, amen, the life that God has ordained for you, the life that God has purposed for you. So your best life begins the minute you accept Christ as your own personal Savior. When you say yes, Lord, to your ways, yes, Lord, to your will, then your transformation begins. Those old things, that old man, guess what? Passed away, and your new life begins. All things become new. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, tonight we are having our collaboration. Yes, the collaboration with Women Speak Now and Men of the Movement. Amen. So without, well, first of all, the men are asking the questions on tonight, and they got some really awesome questions. And so without any further ado, let me bring in the mighty man of God. Yes, we're talking about the CEO and the founder, you know him, of the Now Network and the P2P Ministries, no other than my brother, my friend, my co-ambassador for Christ. Yes, Pastor E.
What's up? What's up? What's up? To God be the glory.
Praise God. I'm not even going to ask you how you're doing because I already know the answer, and it is blessed.
Blessed? Yes, completely. Always excited, always excited for tonight, especially when we get to minister. You guys get us first, but we're getting stronger. We're coming harder, but then we have to come back and say, let's really search for not. And I'm saying this very transparently, Minister Michelle, not in a vindictive way, but in a searching way. I'm asking guys to give me questions that they really want to know the answer to, not just to say, ask them this since they asked that, because I believe you guys are asking questions that you guys really want to. So I'm excited. Let's do this thing.
Hey, man, I'm excited, too. Well, you guys are stepping it up. You're bringing some awesome questions. You always come back with just your questions are always on the same level, if not a little bit higher. You guys have stepped it way up, and so we are excited. And, you know, our collaboration theme is working together to work things out, and that's what we're doing. So we're not going to delay, man of God. If you go ahead and pray us in, we can get right to it.
Amen, amen. Well, gracious Heavenly Father, as we said, we thank you that you continue to push us to collaborate, to work together, to work things out, and to continue to be consistent about you being the head of everything. So, Lord, we glorify you. We magnify you as we submit to you right now and say, use us in the way that you put us here for tonight in this forum, Lord, that we'll be transparent, we'll be truthful, and we'll also be willing to grow in every area of this broadcast. So, Lord, we magnify you today that you reached us in this moment. Now we want to reach you. So, Lord, we bow down before you, just a moment of worship, just a time to say thank you and a time to say, Lord, you deserve our best. You deserve our worship. And we're so honored to have you tonight. So thank you, Lord, for being in our presence, because you say there are two or three gathered. I think we have 10 times that right now. So we thank you that you are in our presence. Have your mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, Pastor,
yep.
I'm going to go ahead and get the torch because you are the man of the hour. You're asking the questions. I'm just here to humbly answer them the best that I can.
I'm the man of the hour. We don't say that because it's time to preach. You want me to preach? Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Let me get my Bible over here. Hold on.
We always preach everything we do.
I'm just playing. You know what we're here to do. Well, we're ready. We're ready to ask the questions that we believe nobody else will ask. And I'm so gracious ask the questions that no one asks, that the right answers come. But anyway, number one. Why is it so hard for women to get over past mistakes, even after years? I'm going to stretch that out. Years of doing the right thing. And still saying, I had one brother say, well, I'm still saying sorry from 10 years ago.
Wow. Well, I hope to answer the question. I do have a variety of answers I ask several women. And so it's an awesome question, and I know it's going to bring up an awesome dialogue. So the general consensus on this question is why it's so hard for women to get over past mistakes even after years of doing the right thing. The general consensus is that women love deeply and with our all. So when a man makes a mistake, it hurts us to the core of our souls, to the core. We are sensitive, we are passionate, and we hurt when we are betrayed. And it takes a long time for a woman to get over that and for her to open up her heart fully at the possibility of getting hurt again. And that's really the answer. But, you know, it went on to say that one woman said that it's insecurity. Bottom line, it's insecurity. It's that feeling of not wanting to get hurt, of feeling insecure and not feeling secure anymore in the relationship.
Well, you know, I even asked, you know, you're not supposed to answer a question with a question, but I even asked a question. I said, I'm asking my brothers, the men up crew. I said, did you ever take any time to pay attention? Were you did you resemble anything about the guy before?
Mm-hmm.
If you got into a relationship and now it's a problem with, you know, with you and her, and you really haven't done anything. I said, did you ever take time to say, who did she used to date? What did he look like? What was his characteristics? Because it's not always the thing that hurts us, because that doesn't draw us. It's the attractions and the characteristics that draw us. I asked him. He said, man, you know, after you think about it, yeah, he's light skinned too. Yeah, man, he's 6 feet. He's this and this. And I said, well, you know, we have to be more conscious as both sides to really say, am I looking for the same old thing?
Right. Well, you know, everybody has a certain type, so you're going to be attracted to a certain type of man. You know, some people have a certain type. Some of us like 31 flavors. I mean, some of us like one particular flavor. So,
yeah, I understand that. I understand. But I'm really trying to, you know, I'm trying to go there and say a little bit more on the discovery side for us. You know, that we do a little bit more on the discovery side. But here's another thing. Because you said this, that you set it out. You put some characteristics out there on you guys. You can even repeat it again, nobody thinks I'm saying it. But I'm just saying, okay, if women if you guys are the way you are, why would you ever forgive somebody knowing you're not going to?
Well, it's not that you're not going to. You're
to wait. When God forgave you, when did He forgive? When did He forgive you?
That all makes sense. But we're talking real talk. So
when God forgave you, He forgave you when? Now.
But they can go both ways, Pastor. You go both ways. Not just women, but you are asking the question. So
wait a minute. I'm gonna pop my fingers because tonight's my night. No, I'm just playing. It does go both ways.
But you can say with your mouth, you know, I forgive you, but with your heart, it's the heart that has to heal. You can say, oh, I forgive you, you're going to go ahead and continue the relationship, but the heart is still injured. And so you're wanting to forgive, your mind is saying I forgive, but your emotions take time to heal. And so not saying that you didn't forgive. It's just, the healing process may take a little longer. That's all that it is. And it's because women are sensitive, we're passionate, and we love what our all. So if that's just the way it is it right? Is it wrong? Is it not right? You know, that could be debated, but that's the answer. You know,
I understand. But if we were really trying to get to the bottom of it for someone out there listening, maybe going through this situation, then sometimes not to give up, sometimes you got to get out. not of the relationship. You got to get out of it and try to discover what, why you're there, and really get a hold on it, both sides, to why both parties are still there. Marriages need to be not destroyed. They don't need to be put on hold either. They need to be strengthened, but they need to be strengthened with a new, you know, with a new relationship between man and woman.
But you said something important too, though, Cassie. It was very important and profound, because Jesus does forgive us now, and a lot of times we should forgive each other now. And I don't know, you know, I can't speak on everybody's intentions. I don't know if your intentions are to forgive now, but if we really do like Christ do and do what he did and forgive now, then it will be, you know, I think things will go smoother. When we all become more Christ-minded, Christ-like,
right,
then it makes
right.
everything work. And so
now,
you know,
so
we work on our salvation daily, you know, it's a
yes.
day-to-day process. Yeah.
Well, that makes
but
both
that
parties.
That is what we should do. Yep, absolutely. That's
yeah,
an excellent
both
point.
Parties.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Amen.
You know, we let it go quick. If we say it's over, look, if we say it's over, it's over. But the phone will ring 10 minutes later and say, hey, do we got a problem? Huh? Wait a minute. I'm on a whole nother situation. And you know, so it you know, I've heard that and I agree with that, because I've been in that seat also.
And I've been on both sides. I've been in a situation where I said I forgive and I didn't, and the drug on and on and on. But I can say the older that I've gotten, the more mature I have become, and the more Christ-like I'm becoming, because I'm not there, the more Christ-like I am becoming, that it's becoming less. The arguments are becoming
yeah.
less. The cool-down time is becoming shorter. The forgiveness time is happening quicker, you know, than in the past. So it can be done. It's a process.
Right. Well, you know, and then when a crisis like that happens, and forgiveness comes, not only doing the right thing, I was telling one brother today, not only doing the right thing, you got to do right things together.
Amen.
That builds trust. It's just not like I'm doing the right thing. Look at me. I told him, because he said, man, everything I do, I'm at home, I go to work, I come home. I said, so, but everything you're doing is look at me. If you were doing this with her, she would have got over it a long time ago. So working together to work things out, oh, that was revelation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Drop down. Got to work together. You can't be working individually
yeah.
in a marriage. When a crisis comes, it has to be no more of old, you know, habits, but now
Absolutely.
New things together. Maybe that might work for somebody out there today.
I think it will. I think it will, Pastor. I think that's awesome. Yes,
I'm taking notes of the do. You know, every time we talk, I got the stuff to do a lot of and don't do. And that's all in red. Don't do. So I got so many notes scribbled around. This is my manual for my to come. But anyway.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
You know,
because if we're truly one, then we have to heal as one. We have to forgive as one. You know, so if you really get into the one concept and truly, you know, work on that, I think that will make marriages stronger, healthier, happier,
yes.
more satisfactory overall. Amen.
You know, and we're going to go to question two, but even in that, in this closing part, because I said, well, you know, okay, you've asked for forgiveness, but you're still doing the same. You got the same culture of things that you do. You don't come home right after work. You go to the gym 5 or 6 times a week. You do this, you do that. Your routine hasn't changed any. How could you expect somebody to say you're different, even though you know you're more attentive and you answer your phone whenever it rings. Even if you're at the gym, you answer it. You know, those things don't change it. It has to go back to that. If you're gonna heal people out there listening today, you got to heal together. So past mistakes are over, because you got a new now. Everything you do is together. You tell my team, because I'm not doing the right thing. You're not doing the right thing, but we're doing the right thing.
Awesome.
How about that? Somebody ought to shabak up in. No.
High
get
five.
Me started. Amen. Now, do you want to ask anybody if they have any comments on this, or just go to the end and then come back?
I think we can go to the end. What do you think, Pastor?
That'll work. Hey, it don't take me, but when? Now. Question number two. Are you ready? Question number two. Why do women seem less worried about appearance after the relationship is committed. Now, you know, that's a trick question. You know, that's a trick question. I had to clean that one up. I had to clean that one up.
Yes, indeed. You have some good questions on tonight. So, number two, to answer that one. Okay, so the general consensus again is that women said that it depends on the man. It depends on the man. What do we mean by that? If the man continues to compliment the woman, treat her the same way when he was pursuing her, when he was dating her, takes her out and showers her with love and affection, the same way he did when he was pursuing her, then she'll be more likely to continue to dress up, continue to keep her hair and nails together, have everything on point, including her body. But women said many times what happens is once the relationship is settled, the man stops taking her out and starts spending more time wanting to be at home. And then so they, instead of going out, they start cooking at home, staying in. Less physical activity is happening on both people's behalf. And both people start to gain weight and get comfortable. And then they get into this kickback relationship towards the relationship. And they say there's a certain level of comfortability that sets in, especially when the man stops paying her the same level of attention. Boom, bam, there you have it.
Bam, boom, boom, boom. Well, y'all throwing rocks tonight. Whoa, where my brothers at? I don't see none of my brothers on the line. There's a bunch of women on the line tonight. I don't see none of my homies.
We're not throwing rocks, just stepping on toes, just a little bit.
Oh, man, that was like, do. Everything is your fault. I do it all because of you.
Oh, man, but, you know, not the same.
Oh, my God, but I tell you, I even had to look at that in a threefold sense because there are those that have both went. Look, there are those that have both lost it, but those aren't the ones who complain it. I'm just going to keep it real with you because everything you said is true because those that I hear those questions, the guy is the same way. They don't care. They good being big belly, laid back. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I didn't say that word. Then there's another crew that the man is staying on it.
Uh-huh.
And says, man, I asked her to go to the gym. I'm trying to encourage her to get it. I'm even saying, hey, I need this. This is what I expect. And it's still just because of the commitment and relationship. He ain't going nowhere. And they know that.
Well, in certain situations like that, Cassidy, I can say that some women perform for the, audition for the part, and then once they have it, they're like, okay, the audition is over. So in those cases, the person wasn't really being who they are.
See, that was the third section. men and women both,
happen.
You know, they play, they give up a part, but not really to play the whole play.
And that's why it's important to really be who you are in the beginning, and when you really are who you are. As long as everything is still going, as long as, the honey is dripping and the sugar is being poured in on both parts,
come on now.
Everything's going to work out, because a woman's going to want it to please you because you're making her happy. You're making her feel loved. You're making her feel appreciated. I don't know any woman where a man is doing all that and she's like, well, I don't care. He better take me here. I am. I don't know too many like that. And if that's the one you married, that's the one she was when you met her,
Come on now.
So you can't.
I'm glad you said that. Because there were signals, there was warning signs for folks out there. When you met somebody and you went to their house and said, "Wait a minute, I didn't know you live like this," but you kept on going. See, you saw warning signs, but you ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like transparency, Minister Michelle, because it's straight out, straightforward. This is what's out. This is what on the table. And I'm not asking you to take it, but I'm saying if you ever look to come this way. This is what's out there. First, God is first. Family is second. Ministry is third. And everybody else after that. And then the person say, well, where do I come at? I don't know because I don't know where I come at. That's something I would put out just if I had to put something out there on the table. But it would be that to say, do you accept this? Well, let me try it. Give me 3 days. They're going to say either yes, and most of them are going to say no. But the transparency says that you don't have to go about or worry about losing something because it was so communicated in the beginning. You can't miss it.
That's good. That's good.
Oh, you know me. I'm straight up. I'll be like, wait a minute. Oh, nope. I love that word no. I use no a lot. Even as it's more as a Christian than I do anything any time other.
I was gonna say yes, and Christians can't say no. Yes, we can.
we better say no.
Right, you have to say no. Absolutely.
That's right.
Yep.
You ready for number three?
I am, Pastor E.
Question number three: when raising children, this is more for a married couple or family. But when raising children, I had more response on this one than anything. But when raising children, why do women only get the father involved for discipline?
Funny you said that, because on my behalf, Pastor, this question generated the most responses.
You got a lot on this one, huh?
Oh, yeah, you got the women real stirred up on this one. So it was an excellent, excellent question. And so I just try to, like, you know, bring everybody's questions together, get a general consensus, and then give you some of the points that women said. So the general response here was that the majority of the women said that they prefer a man to be involved in every aspect of childbearing, from nurturing to the homework to the pickup and drop off to the doctor visit to the school meetings, and not just discipline. They said, now, this is true. Every woman feels this way, whether they were married, whether they were separated, divorced, just not together. But women felt that it was a generational situation, like a generational view, that when our mothers and grandmothers, you know, were raising kids, it was kind of that way, because the man at that, you know, during this generation kind of worked outside the home, and the woman typically stayed home, and she raised the kids. So she did all the nurturing and all these other things I just mentioned. So when the father would get home, he'd be like, oh, let me tell you what little Ray Ray did. Go get him, you know. And so she would just leave the disciplining to him, because he only came in, you know, at the end of the day, he's tired or whatever he did. It wasn't expected for him to be involved in all this nurturing and homework and picking up and all these things, because he was the breadwinner. But now we have both parents working. So typically expectations is that everybody's going to share in the child rearing now. But when it came to disciplining, they felt like it really depended on the gender, because women prefer the father to discipline the son once he reaches about 13 or 14. They felt like his presence was more masculine and the son would respect it more, so they want the father to get involved at this age in the disciplinary. Up until then, they go ahead and discipline them or whatever, but by the time they get 13 or 14, enter into that preteen, feeling like they're a man or whatever, they're going through hormonal stage of life, and they felt like the father, it was more beneficial if he took over in the discipline area. But they also said that men prefer women to discipline the daughter, that a lot of men didn't feel comfortable disciplining the daughter. They're like, oh, no, you go discipline her, I discipline him, type of situation. But then we know plenty of single women who have done an excellent job of doing the discipline, the raising, all that.
No, it's a lot of single women being daddy and mother.
And mama, amen.
Grandparent, yes, everything else. There's some people. There's a lot of ladies out there. Just to keep it 100, there's a lot of women out there that don't even have family support that are raising their children. But there are some men out there now that are raising single father, single father families that we want to keep them lifted up too. But it's not as easy. It's not as easy as a man to do a single family as it is a woman, because the woman shows up at any time that she takes precedent.
And I like to commend those men too, Pastor E, because I know a few.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yes, this is to be, you know, respected, admired, all those things, especially when they're doing an excellent job.
There's a lot out there too. There's a lot out there too. But here, check this out. I answered that question. I wanted to give you an opportunity, but it says, when raising children, why do women only get the father involved for discipline? And I told them, because you ain't around for nothing else. If you ask me that question, that tells me that she only needs you for the hard stuff. But all the other stuff, you ain't there. And then two brothers said, man, I provide. Man, I work 13 hours. I did this. I said, but team is team.
Absolutely.
And if we really want to get this thing together, we have to be able to really coincide with one another and know how to manage our time where it manages the relationship and the children.
Amen. I agree. And some women said that they felt like the man didn't want to get involved in anything but the discipline
part
of it.
But that. You know? Sending me, I'll whoop your butt.
Yeah, that's it. But as far as like all the other things, you know, the nurturing and homework and doctor's appointments and all those other little things, they didn't want to do that. But they're like, oh, I discipline them though. You know, so they felt like that's one of the reasons it may appear that that's the only time.
But it usually starts out, no, you need to whoop him. She said, I ain't whooping that boy. Then I'll whoop him, you know, and it goes from there.
Yeah, but what the women didn't like was that it wasn't a balance, because when you discipline a child, the child also has to know that you love them. And when you're not doing those other things, nurturing, you know, homework, being there, and all those things, and you just come in for discipline, the child starts thinking, my father hates me, because all the time I see him when he's beating me. I never see him when I'm at my award ceremony, when I'm, you know, at school or my homework or anything like that.
Right.
So it really came down to the balance. Even with mothers, we have to balance, you know, you can't just always discipline a child. You have to love them too.
Well,
you have to, you know.
I'll say this. I'll say this right now, that discipline is not abuse. We need so much more of discipline. Beating somebody is not discipline, because all it made me want to do is fight back.
Well, even just yelling at the child, telling them, you know, taking away their privileges or whatever form you use, if that's only time that there's an interaction, then the child feels like you don't love them.
That's right.
So you have
that's
to
right.
balance
that's
that
right.
with the positives too. Yeah.
We need a kids show on the network. When we talk about some of the things that these young people are, is your daughter, is she ready?
No, she ain't ready. I just told her that now. I had to, her string was coming out of her jacket. I had to push it all the way through. I said, girl, what you gonna do with it?
Oh, let me know when she's ready, because I got a couple that we can put a little team together. But we need a youth little thing out there to talk about stuff like this too. About, well, my parent does this. That's why I'm like that. She looked. Mama said, nope.
No, I just asked her. I said, oh, you wanted to talk? Let me ask her. I said, you ready, Jalen? She's like, no. You can do it.
Don't be scared of Pasty. I'm about that now anyway. But, you know, raising children should be done together.
Yes, absolutely. I
See,
mean,
that's not
everybody
a question.
Knows that children benefit from having both parents involved in the child rearing, whether in the house or not, just in the child rearing.
Well, it's a balancing. You know, what we always say, equilibrium, is a balancing, that there's not a left or right. I remember when I'm going to just be honest. When I was a kid, I knew if I wanted something, go to mommy.
Well,
and if I did something wrong, stay away from daddy.
Amen. But you have some fathers who spoil the kids, and the mom is the one to do all the discipline.
My daddy, you know, because he's a pastor, had the daycare and all that. He'd catch me at 11. I'm asleep at 11 o'clock. He'd catch me asleep. That's back when they could whoop you.
Yep, I know about that.
Here's just a little memory. I went to Linwood High to football practice with a snake web around my leg because I tried to run, and I was a runner, and I tried to run, and he slung that stitch of cord out and caught me around my leg and pulled it, and it wet my whole right leg.
Oh, yeah,
I went to school, they didn't say nothing. They say, oh, your daddy whooped your butt.
Did nobody call nobody, now, right?
Look, nowadays he would have been in jail.
Yep. Same thing with my father. Yeah. He would beat my brother so bad, I start crying. I said, oh, y'all ain't got to worry about me.
Come on, you better tell the truth.
Okay. Call scared straight.
I didn't want to go there. I just seen both of them. I just seen both of them get beat down by your daddy in that garage.
Oh, yeah, my daddy was no joke. People were like, why you was such a good child? You see my daddy?
Look, he was, look. let's let everyone know how close we are. We would be in the garage doing something. He would come and lift that garage up real strong, and it would hit the top. The rest of us is gone. Oh, no, he's going to tear their butts up.
Oh, yeah, my father didn't play at all. And I wasn't going to try him to figure out just how much he wasn't going to play. I'm like, I'm a believer.
And that's the same thing, you know, in my parent. And I'm glad we're talking about this, because people say these guys are reminiscing. No, we're not. We're saying how parents had to really go hard to keep you in line.
Yep.
To make sure you survive.
And I'm sure there's people on the line who can relate, who have the same type of parents. The same type of parenting.
All they have to do is dial one. We'll get them involved in the conversation.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. I'm gonna bring Minister Terry in because, you know, I don't have no brother support tonight.
What?
I got thrown under the bus. Look, I'm almost tempted. You know, I could call them in. I'm almost tempted to, but I'm not going to do it tonight. Minister Terry, Women Speak Now, Man Up the Movement, the collaboration.
Good evening, family. Good evening. I'm listening.
Evening,
I'm just listening. Good evening.
I know we got you cracking up. I know we got you cracking up.
You know you got me over here. But you know, on number three, I can elaborate on that because discipline. Because I tell you, it took both of them to discipline. Because I know in the household I grew up, it was seven of us, five girls and two boys. And the girls, we were in the middle. And you know, we grew up in Compton. We would ask our dad, can we go for
Compton in the house?
Yes. He said, turn around and go ask your mom. And you know what? When she say no, she meant no. So, but you know what, family? I'm listening to you guys, and number one, what was number one? Why is it so hard for women to get over past mistakes?
Yes. After years of doing the right thing. Come on, don't leave that out.
After years of doing the right thing. And I'm going to put myself in that category. But you know what? I think, first of all, it's forgiveness. Once we learn, forgive ourselves for the poor choices we made. Forgiveness. And I think if they keep on making it, stop falling for the bad guys. And Pastor, I like what you said. It's over. When it's over, it's over. Women, if a man is telling you it's over, you have to accept it. Accept it with your head up and move on. Because I tell you, God has a plan for you. It's bigger. His plan is bigger than yours. So I'm enjoying this because he's about to do a new thing, and you have to believe. I tell you, that one there, whew. But we have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves because, you know, in life, as women, and I'm speaking as a single woman, but I'm strong now, strong in the Lord. But I tell you, women, it's from poor choices. When you pick the wrong person or you expect the wrong person. So we have to take it all ourselves and forgive and move on. What was number two, Sam? I'm still here.
Where can I go? I'm still here. Why do women seem less worried about appearance after the relationship is committed?
After the relationship is committed.
I'm still going to the gym. I'm trying to keep it right.
Still going to the gym, but most women, sometimes after the relationship is committed, they don't have as much time when they've been in a committed relationship. But it should be unconditional love. But to begin with, a woman, we have to be true to ourselves, who we really are, right up front. If you dress up every day, continue to dress up every day. If you want to throw your ponytail up, if you want to relax, do that. You have to just be yourself, be for real with them. My mom taught me this. If you start off running their bath water, cooking their food every day, ironing their clothes, then that's what they expect. So you have to be true to yourself, and you have to do it from the beginning. What you start off with, you'll finish with. So if you begin it, you can't start it and then in the middle say, oh, I don't feel like doing this. No, it doesn't work that way. So I think women seem less worried about their appearance. Because you know what? They have to be real with themselves. I am who I am, me as I am, or we're not meant to be together. That's just me. That's just me, family, you know. Ooh, I tell you, that's probably why I'm by myself, but glory to God.
Come on, the truth hurts, but it will set you free.
Yes, the truth hurts, but it will set you free. But I'm enjoying you guys. Family, I enjoy the collaboration each and every time because, Pastor, I know you and the men on the Now Network, all the listeners, you guys have some questions to answer. Ask for women, and we have some answers to answer,
yes,
too. Minister Michelle, I have to say, Minister Michelle, Tuesday night, you did some awful, you did some awful answers. Ooh, praise you, girl. You did awesome, awesome.
Praise God.
Praise God, I tell you.
Thank you, beautiful sister. To God be the glory.
To God
always,
be the glory.
Always. And look, you see, my brothers know they can throw me under the bus because I can carry the bus. But anyway, to God be the glory.
Amen,
God
family.
Amen. That was a good
God bless you.
Too.
God bless you, Minister Terry.
Amen. God
can't
bless
wait
you
till
all.
Tomorrow.
You
what's
all.
The word? Ooh, what's the word
what's the
tomorrow?
Word? What's the word? You know the word. God bless.
In the beginning was. The word was.
And the
with.
Word was God.
And the
and
word was.
Hallelujah.
We about to preach up in here tonight.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
The
love
word.
You. Evangelist Virginia Valentine. Women Speak Now, Man Up, the collaboration. Do you have anything you'd like to share?
Yes, sir, man of God. I sure do. Good afternoon, Minister Michelle.
Can I ask you a question?
Good afternoon.
Did you be sitting on the edge of your chair?
I'm on the edge right now. Praise God. How are you, though?
I know. Just believe me. I know. Believe me. Believe me.
I'm on the edge. I'm serious. I'm on the edge of this love seat.
Praise God.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Share with us, please.
Yes, Lord. Y'all have shared so much. And I'm gonna elaborate on number three about raising children. About raising children.
Yes, that was number three.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, that's number three. Yep. We're raising children.
Why
the women
can hear you.
The father involved. Yes,
okay. Y'all was talking about raising children.
Yeah, you're loud and clear.
Okay, I would like to say this. Raising children, and you said something about the father, because, man of God, you were saying it so fast, I wanted you to repeat it twice. I didn't get it all. Are you there?
Yes, I got it, Evangelist. And so it was when raising children, why do women only get the father involved for discipline?
Okay, well, guess what? It's time to get the fathers. It's time to get the fathers involved. Because I'm going to say this. When that child was conceived, it was not conceived by the woman only. The man played his part also. So when you bring that child home from day one, daddy should be involved then. Cleaning the baby, giving the baby a bath. Whenever the baby go to the bathroom, he should start from there up until they get about 18. Discipline that child. You start when that baby is when it first come home. If you get up at night to give a bottle, well, the next turn is daddy night. You get up and get the bottle.
Amen. Yes.
Daddy should be involved from day one. Whatever mom is doing with the baby, dad. Teach him, show him what you're doing. This is the way you change the baby's pamper. This is the way you give him a bath. This is what you do. This is how you give him a bottle. Then show him how to birth the baby. He should be involved from day one. Not wait until he get older and then you want to discipline him. No, start from day one. And then as he grow older, then you can discipline him or her. Show them the way to go. The Bible says train up a child and the way he should go or she should go. And when they grow old, they won't depart from it. Because one day that child is coming back and they're going to remember what you taught them.
But you know, you said something so dynamic. If you the way you start is the way it finishes. If you start, you ain't got to worry about what's going to happen later because you already know the seed. They're not going to go left or right. They're going to stay on path.
No. Yes.
But, you know, I want to throw this in there because we're building, and I didn't want to throw this out there too quick, but we're building a how to man up manual. And in our manual, it says you need to be apart from delivery. As a matter of fact, you need to the man need to be the one that got the baby, that the first to hold while the mother's recovering. The first three months, the man should stay home with the baby while the mama is getting recovered because – Y'all go through a lot. Y'all go through a lot of childbirthing. I did a study. That's the closest. That is the closest a woman. That's the closest a person gets to death.
Yes.
Well,
yes, it is.
In producing life.
Yeah.
Here,
amen.
I did another study. Who is the only thing that we know produces life?
Say it again, Mega.
Who do you know who produced life? Where did life create from?
God.
God created everything. Is that correct?
Yes, he did.
But, and now you get to do the same thing, create life. See, we can't do that. I'm mad at you right now, but I love you. But you can create life.
Yes, you can.
See, my father, it's not because he didn't do a good job, okay? But people only do what they know how to do.
Yeah.
He didn't teach me to, won't you study a woman, how her body changes to give, first of all, to conceive, and then to hold, and then to give birth. Oh, my God. If I had to go through that, I would get rid of it.
Amen.
I start looking how the pelvic go out and the back goes back and this and swelling. And that's not weight. That's swelling. And I'm not really trying to be pro-woman right now. I'm trying to be truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we get men in the manual to how to man up is that, first of all, you got to know that what that woman's going through. Now it's your responsibility. When the baby come out, now you're in charge.
Yes, that's right. A man have a big responsibility and helping.
She should
that
be able to. She should be able to have no interaction and say, except telling, saying, "Bring me my baby."
Yes.
And when she's sick and tired, she should be saying, "Take my baby."
You know what?
That's step three in how to be a man.
She shouldn't have to say, "Take my baby." When mom is tired. She just giving birth to a baby. Daddy should have that baby and let mom get her so many hours of rest. And he should have that baby. He should nurture that baby. He should take care of that baby and say,
Exactly.
Mom. Yes.
She deserves that recuperation.
Yes, she does.
But it's not, but here, I know you're saying all that what men should do, but let's keep it real. Men only do what they know how to do. But until we culture us to saying, look at the sensitivity of it and look at the life part of it. See, I spoke about how you guys go to the closest point of death. Then I even shared how you produce life. See, that's drawing some men's attention out there to say, wait a minute, I need to listen. Instead of saying, you need to do this, you need to do that, because they don't know. We
don't know.
I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know, but guess what? It's time for them to learn now.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're trying to teach, and we try to administer through these broadcasts that we really comfortably touch everybody to say, you know what? I want to do that. Not somebody told me to do it. I want to do it.
Yeah, I want to do that.
I got a passion to do it.
Yeah. And another thing, when you talked about discipline your child, you shouldn't wait until you get angry and so mad till you want to beat that child, and you beat that child unmerciful. That is not of God. You're going to spank that child. You do it when you're not angry. And there's other things you can do besides spanking or beating that child. You could put him in a corner for so many minutes. You could take away the television. You could take away the DVD or whatever game he got. Because sometimes we wait till we get angry and we want to whip the children and we hurt them.
Praise
God. Then the children ready to
call
the police.
Now, look, now you're trying to, Evangelist, now you're trying to start something.
Yes, I am.
Because we'll let the child get away.
All right.
And look, we'll let the child get away and then get mad at the mate and go whip the child.
Yes.
Your man do something to you, and then you now remember what the child did that was really minute, but because you're mad, go whoop the child. See, we got to change the whole culture.
This whole thing.
Did I say something truthful in there? Because I heard a whoop. I'm telling you, people do that. They say, baby, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to let you get away with this one. And then they get mad at whoever, the woman or the man, and they go whoop the child to get it out. He left. He didn't get home by 10.
It should be vice versa. This should be a team between the man and his wife and that child.
Yes.
And if
yes.
you're not married and you're thinking about getting married and you want to have children, well, men need to start learning now.
On this broadcast, and women need to learn now. Evangelist
yes.
Charlene,
right,
we want to bring you in. I know you have a comment. We're going to keep you on board, Evangelist Virginia, bring you back for your closing remarks. But Evangelist Charlene, good evening, woman of God.
Hey. Good evening, woman of God.
Hey.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
God bless you.
All three of these subjects are good subjects. I think the one that stood out the most to me was, number one, forgiving after years, and you extended that years of hurt. Honestly, wait.
Let me do it so you can get like really get the sense of it. Years.
Okay. Well, I think personally, if it's taken that long, it's because someone has not forgiven from the heart. You know, because you're thinking about it in your head, the years of hurt, but it's still. You have to go right to the heart and forgive from the heart. And then this came to my mind. When you're forgiving from the heart, it is a path to victory because it is a path to victory. But what the person or persons are experiencing is that they are reflecting on the love that was lost and disappointments that have not been addressed appropriately, openly, sincerely, honestly, and with true concern for each other's feelings. So first of all, they have to go back to the beginning. Was there true and real love existing between the two of you in the beginning? Like, where did the love go? And at the end of the day, it takes two. But if one or both fell out of love or was one-sided or not fully involved, the relationship was not healthy. So they need to forgive the one who caused the fall of the relationship, even if it was you or the person, whoever the person was. Learn from it and grow up. Don't repeat the same offenses so that you can be better off to love the right person when and if God sends it. Because a good and right relationship involves truth and honesty and no half-stepping, no mind games, no selfishness. It takes two and God to be in it to win it for success. So that's what I got out of it. If it's years of hurt, they have to go right back and ask the question, where did the love go? And forgive.
I had one brother say today, he said, it was never love. I said, then what are you doing? He said, well, no, it was a convenience for both of us. I said, well, you guys need to regroup. Because now after years of you guys doing what is prosperous for you, and there's no love, if there's no love, there's no God.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pleasure. There's no nothing. I mean, those are the things we got to get out there, you know, to really say, hey, check yourself, homie. And I want y'all to know I'm that hard on my brothers. I'd be like, nah, dude, I can say this because I'm not doing it that way because I'm me. And I'm training myself to be according to the word of God. So when I do an us, I know it's not my will. It's his will. I don't have to come back saying, well, I'm not happy because I know it's going to be all the way confirmed. I know it's going to be all the way in that abiding factor that God is involved in it. It's a must.
Mm-hmm.
Build team with God.
Jesus. Yeah, because you have to have God. You have to have God in your heart because he will show you how to love again. For those who have been holding on to hurt for years, they have to receive the love of God in their heart to know how to love, you know, again, and how to love the right way, you know, with compassion, with consideration.
That's right. Yes.
Selflessly. Because if you go in, if a person's going into a relationship, if they're going into a relationship one-sided, they have an agenda, they have a motive and an intention from the right off the cuff, and one of the other person don't know it, and that they're in the dark, and then the game begins. And then the setup for future heartbreak to happen. But if they're going in, if, you know, it's like someone said, you have to be whole so so that you meet someone God will bless you with and that they're whole, and then you won't have a broken relationship. And like Minister Michelle said, we become like Jesus Christ. It's a process. So, you know, you don't arrive, but you continually seeing your faults within your own self and going to God and saying, God, you know, make me whole. Help me to grow where I've been broken. Help me to grow where I've been wounded. Help me to heal. Because at the end of the day, you know, you don't want to be the cause, the person that's broken don't want to be the cause of the relationship to fall either. You know, so it's really selfless because, yeah, you know, we can always say nobody's perfect, you know, except me as I am. But at the end of the day, if that except me as I am person is saying, God, make me whole, heal me, then maybe the other person will say, you know, I'll walk with you through this because I know you're going to the pathway of healing, you know. And that's being upfront because God knows your heart. And, you know, it's about being selfless in a relationship because how can two agree unless how can they walk together unless they agree, you know, because maybe this person's not broken this year, God have mercy, but God could, you know, just really dig deep to heal them some more, and they'll realize they're not healed in a certain area of their life, you know. So it's really a process, and they have to start with having God in their heart to love them, to show them that, yeah, you're not perfect and you messed up, but, you know,
yes.
God said, but I love you. I love you. I created you. I love you. I love you too much to leave you the same way that you are.
You know, you're touching on so many things about the network because that's why 52 Weeks of Love even came into existence, is that I cannot love no one, nothing until I learn how God loved me. Not how I can love. I have to learn how God loved me. Oh, listen tomorrow. We need to get some people on that broadcast tomorrow more to listen to the seven ways that God loved you. So now you can learn the seven ways of loving back. And
praise
then
God.
When I graduate, not from loving you, from loving God, now I can love a person. Because I know it's without reason. It's without purpose. It's without agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, somebody
and you
know
God's glorified because
you know how God loved you. You know how to die for somebody. You know how to give the first. You know how to be quiet. You know how to say not my will and your will.
Mm-hmm.
It starts there. It
and
really
God's
does.
Glorified.
It starts there.
And God is glorified because of the meekness. You know, people think meekness is weakness, but meekness is strength. You know, because meekness and humility is strength in God's sight. Because he knows the person is pliable and he can make them and mold them.
Praise God.
You know, and God is glorified in that. So the world says, be hardcore, be hard. You know, don't show your hurt. Don't even show, I guess, affection. But to God, that's what Jesus showed when he came to the earth. He showed compassion and affection and pity. He came meek. He came gentle. He came loving. He came caring. You know, he came strong in the spirit. But at the same time, it was not without compassion. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they knew a lot, but they didn't have love or compassion. You know, they were heartless. And that's the meekness.
Oh, come on, somebody.
God is giving. That's the meekness that God inserts in our hearts and our spirits is that that's okay. It's okay to be meek in your spirit. It's okay to be gentle. It's okay to be mild, you know, but in spirit and truth. You know, God is the strength. He's the confidence that makes a person, you know, make a person brave. You know, when he says be strong in the Lord, be of good courage, that's not cockiness. It's not arrogance. It's not pride. It's just the strength that God is the strength of your life. You know, God is he's a comforter. And and meekness and gentleness, those attributes are okay to go there with God and let him love you and be in your midst where he will abide, where his presence will brood, where he will rest in a heart that's connected to what he's about. He's about that compassion. He's about that gentleness. He's about that realness. That's what's real, the meekness that you can feel and know that the heart of God is in that. You're tugging on the heart of God. That's what God is about. Is this the heart? Is this what my will is? Is this what a person's will is? Is this what the world, you know, the world's will is? Where's this coming from? You know, But wherever God is, that's where you want to be, because that's where the love of the compassion, the mercy of God is, the grace of God. That's where God is. He is love. Man, praise God.
Yes.
Praise
Can
God.
I say something on number one? Minister Michelle?
Oh, yes. Go ahead, Evangelist. Absolutely.
Okay. The question was, why is it so hard for women to get over past hurt?
Yes, after years of, the man doing the right thing. Mm-hmm.
After years. After
years of the man doing the right thing.
A lot of years. Plenty of years.
Years.
Years. Yes.
Lord have mercy.
Jesus. And she can't get over that past hurt. You know why? She's hurting, and she's holding that hurt so long because the Bible said a woman is the weakest vessel. She is the weakest vessel, and it's going to take quite some time for her to heal. Her heart, she's been wounded. She's been hurt. She's been going through so much, and I'm talking about the man too. But you know what's wrong there? There's no forgiveness there. You got to forgive. And they both holding unforgiveness in their heart. You holding unforgiveness in your heart. And you can't go on like that. You got to forgive and drop it and let it go. If you figure on planning on staying together for the rest of your life, if not, then you're going to have to make another choice. But you can't go on with a hurt in your heart that long. That is too long for anybody to live a life like that. You're hurting. You're angry. You're mad. All of the above. And you need to go to God and ask him for forgiveness. God should be your first priority. God should be first in all our lives. And we say we Christians. God should be first. And another thing, when you meet a man meet a woman, and you fall in love, and you say, God say, this is my wife, well, God's going to know, and you're going to know when you meet her. You're going to know when you meet that woman. But don't just marry for the flesh part. That's why a lot of marriages don't hold together, because they have married for the wrong reason. They have married because of the flesh. The flesh got in the way. And that's why that matter was on the rock. But I want to read something. Can I read this right quick?
Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. Right quick. Look. Listen. You don't have to do right quick here.
This is
speak now
Adam,
and be heard.
If Adam could have confidence in God for a mate, I believe that Christian today can do likewise. If a Christian desires to be married, I believe God will bring the right person into his or her life who is best suited for them. When people are united with the man or woman, God knows what is best for them, and things will work out better. See, God got to be in it. Did y'all hear that?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, he does.
God's got to be in it. You're going to know that wife when you see her. You're going to know, this is my wife. And you maybe look at how fine she is. Look at that, how big her legs is, how big this is. But you better look that woman in the eye. She needs to look you straight in the eye. And you're going to know. Her eyes is going to catch you. It's going to be the chemistry. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I ain't mean to cuss on this line tonight, but Jesus, help me, Lord.
No, that was excellent. That was excellent, Evangelist.
No, we need collaboration.
Yes, we do.
I hope y'all got what I just read.
Yes, I did. Absolutely. We got to forgive one another. We got to collaborate together. We got to work together to work things out. We have to be
one.
Christ-like.
That's all I heard. That's all I heard when you was talking. One. One.
Yeah.
One. to my God is number one.
One-minded, one accord. One like
Jesus. Oh, Jesus, because my God is number one.
When you get full of Jesus, and you loving God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, when you loving God, then you can love somebody. You love God back, and then you can love somebody else. But make sure God is first in your life.
Amen.
Make sure He is first. The Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things going to fall in place. Oh, Jesus.
Wait, how many things?
All other things going to fall in place. But God should be first. Seek Him first.
And don't be scared of all things.
Don't be scared of all things.
Don't be scared of all things.
All things shall be added unto you. All things. Look at Mark said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you should have them and you shall receive them. Whatsoever things you desire. If you desire, tell God what you're expecting that make. And be specific about it. I desire this man to be this tall or this short. I want this woman like this. I want her like that. And then when you pray that prayer, then you stop. Don't pray no more and wait and watch God send her to you.
I'm getting on my knees tonight. I'm going to get on my knees tonight, and I'm going to put out all my requirements.
Be ready. You better get ready.
And your desire. Get ready, man of God.
Get ready.
Your wife right around the corner.
Receive it.
I'm glad you said right around the corner and not five states, 10 states away.
Well, I just said right around the corner. It could be 5 states away.
No. Right around the corner to me is like left, right, east and
yes,
east and west.
A few mile radius.
Well,
yes, Lord.
You gotta be specific.
Be specific in what you ask God for.
I'm gonna repent. I am going to repent, okay? Because I am not gonna get on my knees and speak out nothing like that. That's not my season. This is my season for grace and favor.
Yes. Well, it's not your season. Right, man, well, guess
so
what?
I hope somebody else out there heard me and said, look, if you know it ain't your season, don't speak something that you ain't ready for.
That's why I said get ready, because you about to have it, man of God.
Uh-oh.
I was like, get ready now. Get ready.
I heard y'all got excited. Oh, wait a minute. I heard
get
I said, wait a minute, let me stop this. Because this is not my season for that.
Yes, Lord.
I know it already. I'm just being honest with you.
Amen.
That's right, man of God. Be honest. And wait for
I'll be honest. When it's time, I'm going to be the first honest. You don't have to wait for somebody else to say, did you hear about Pastor E?
Praise God. You got to be ready.
He engaged.
But I tell you what I want to be honest about. Make God first in your life.
Yes, Lord. Make sure He's first.
He'll bring anything you need. As you said there in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto me.
Yes.
See, I'm not thinking about you right now. I'm thinking about me.
No.
All things will be added unto me if I seek Him first.
Yes, Lord. Seek Him first.
If it was wifey time, y'all, let me tell you, she'd already be here because I'm seeking Him first.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
She coming. She coming. She around that corner.
You now, see there. You keep pushing the button.
Ready for me?
You keep pushing the button. I'm not slow there, Minister Michelle. She coming. Nuh-uh, I gotta find. Okay. She can't come. I have to find. I love y'all. You know, I love you guys. I love you. I love you. I love you.
You can't find it with your eyes closed, man of God. You ain't find it with your eyes closed.
We can be so transparent here. Really, that we can be so transparent.
Hey, man. You can have fun in the Lord.
Yes, oh, I'm going to have fun in the Lord. Y'all better get with me. Dabbing a devil like this. Now, y'all, did you see my post today? Officially, I am the management team for 3G's.
Oh, praise God.
Pyrex. Two crunk for
That's
Jesus.
Awesome.
I am justified. We going nationwide. If you need them in your church, call me.
Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
Awesome.
If you don't know who they are, go on YouTube. Search Pyrex. Search Two Crunk for Jesus. Search I Am Justified.
Praise God.
Tell somebody to call me. Let me get them there so we can really make this ministry thing work. Let me put on the icing on the cake. P2P is going to open for 3G's, the worship, and close out with the word.
Praise God. That's awesome.
So that's Look another down. Elevation. But I need to make some bookings. I need help.
New level.
Yes, sir.
Please like all the things you. Yes, ma'am.
I saw something on last night on YouTube. A change is going to come. A change is going to come. A change is going to come.
From I Am Justified. A change yes. going to come. Oh yeah. Change gonna come, a change gonna. Oh, yes, I'm gonna get y'all that mixtape. Oh, we got some dynamic music coming out. I started a We Are 3G's page on Facebook. Like it.
Yeah.
When I send you a request, please like it because all the new music, all the new everything. If you go to the Now Radio for You, you can hear all of their. I got their music before it got mastered. But I got permission to play it. It's already being played.
Praise
We're going to end
Amen.
With that song tonight. We're going to end with that song tonight. A change going to come.
Awesome. Awesome.
Hey, you started it.
Awesome show tonight, y'all.
Praise God. God be the glory.
Hey, we be collaborating. Minister Michelle, come on. Wait. Let's see who else was here. Minister Terry. Closing remarks from you. Minister Michelle, your closing remarks, and I'll give my little tidbit.
After Amen, family.
Evangel Virginia, you still get your closing remarks.
Amen, family. Amen. I just want to tell the listeners, first thing we have to do, we have to love God, and we have to know and love His Word. And I think it's been said multiple times throughout the show, seek His kingdom first, the kingdom of God. And everything else will be added to you. Solidify our relationship with Him. That should be our priority. God bless you guys, family. Love you all.
God bless you. Love you too. Me, Pastor E?
No, Evangel Virginia.
Yes, I would like to say this. I thank God for you, man of God, and Minister Michelle. What an awesome night tonight. An awesome night tonight. You're awesome. You're great. You're a woman of God.
Collaborating.
You're great.
Collaborating.
You're a woman of God. Oh, yes. You're a woman of God. You're a woman of integrity. You're a woman of faith. And I
Oh, my God. Come on now.
Keep doing what you're doing, woman of God. I want to encourage you tonight. You keep doing what you're doing because God's not through with you yet. He's going to take you higher and higher and higher. And higher and higher. And that's
it.
I thank God for y'all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for you. God's going to take you higher and higher. Amen. Now.
When?
Now.
Now.
Right now.
It's the Now Network. When? Now.
Now.
Praise God.
Mr. Michelle.
Yes. Well, I just want to say it's been an awesome, awesome conversation and dialogue. And I just praise God for each person who gave on tonight, gave of themselves and gave what God had put on their heart to share. And I just want to say God bless you all. And to each person that God is elevating us all. He's no respect of person. We all are going higher in God. He said in the last days he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Amen. And that's exactly what he's doing. And I just thank the Lord for this movement of the Holy Spirit that's being poured out in these last days. Amen. I just pray that we all are strengthened and we continue to press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. I just want to say that you are loved, loved by the Most High God. In Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 through 6 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? But thou hast made him Lord than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. You are loved by God." Amen.
When? When?
Now.
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 God bless you.
Amen.
My sister, I love you.
Love you.
I'm gonna play this song. A change gonna come. This is a hello?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here, man of God.
Oh, you can hear me? Okay, good, good. Cause my speaker went out on this end. But we're gonna do this broadcast, and I'm going to just ask everybody just to listen to the lyrics. Because this is personal for you. A change is going to come when you accept it, when you believe it, and when you receive it. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. It's been a long time coming. A change is going to come.
I know a change gon' come, I know a change gon' come, yeah, yeah.
I know a change gon' come, I know a change gon' come,
yeah. I know a change gon' come, I know a change gon' come, yeah, yeah.
A change is gonna come.
Waking up, thanking God every morning, cause I know that I've been chosen. Been a long time coming, but your boy still growing. Hard work pay off, so I stay on my grind every day and night. How they gon' die, your boy? I did a mixtape in 3 days, my boy, whoa. How they gon' die, your boy? I did a mixtape in 3 days, my boy, whoa. Rose up and freedom, and turn them dollars to believers, and turn the blind to a seer, and walk on water like I'm Jesus. I might slip like I'm Peter. I'm not perfect, but I'm dreaming, yeah. I will not doubt you no more. I will not doubt you no more, yeah, yeah. Look where I started, and look where you got me. You open them doors, yeah, yeah. I will not take any credit. You did it forever, you know I'll admit it. You gave me a gift and you seen all my good and my bad, and you still ain't regret me.
Come on in.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming.
I know a change gon' come. I know a change gon' come, yeah, yeah.
I know a change gon' come, yeah. I know a change gon' come, yeah.
I know a change gon' come. I know a change gon' come, yeah, yeah.
A change gonna come.
I know a change gon' come. I know a change gon' come, yeah, yeah.
I know a change gon' come, yeah. I know a change gon' come, yeah.
I'm truly blessed, I can't even stress, still gets a problem, people know me. My cousin told me, boy, you better pay attention, man, the Lord got you growing, yeah. I will not doubt you no more, I will not doubt you no more, yeah, yeah. I will not doubt you no more, I will not doubt you no more, yeah, yeah. 3 years ago, had my first show, small church, it was awesome. Now I'm taking trips to Compton. Now in Canada, I'm getting offers. Always work to be done, so I take time for my son. And yo, he my blessed son. He done taught me some lessons. I'm still teaching high school, so I let it flow current what I do. While I'm still making music, I guess that's my new boo thing. Cause I ain't seen nothing new, man. Relationships get confusing. It's the only thing that won't lose me. But I'm on this road still moving. I know a change gon' come. I know a change gon' come, yeah, yeah.
I know a change gon' come. I know a change gon' come, yeah.
I know a change gon' come. I know a change gon' come, yeah, yeah.
A change.
I know a change gon' come. I know a change gon' come, yeah, yeah.
I know a change gon' come, yeah. I know a change gon' come, yeah. God bless you, family. You are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name, but you are most beautifully made by God. You are his greatest miracle. Encourage yourself. God bless you.